The second parak of Chagiga, we mentioned just in passing, the previous mishnah was just mentioned, so to speak, in passing about Chagiga, has no scriptural basis, but in the list of other things we said, arayos, there's certain things about arayos we said are not explicit in the Torah. No, so then once you're mentioning arayos and those things that are inexplicit in the Torah, the mishnah here picks up a segue off that point, which is there are certain things that shouldn't be discussed in the public forum. They need to be discussed only in like private, and we'll define what that is. And that's the transition here. And the first of those is Ein Dorshin V'Arayos B'Shlosha. You shouldn't explain the halachas of Arayos. This is reference to Dafka, not the Arayos in the Pesukim, but the Arayos that are inexplicit in the Pesukim, that's what we're talking about from the previous Mishnah. Those things you shouldn't explain, you shouldn't Dorish to three, meaning the rabbi and three students. That's no good. The reason why is, the fear is, student A will ask the rabbi a question and get involved in the discussion. B and C will be bored and start chatting to each other. They won't be listening, and therefore, whatever the rabbi says to student A, they'll miss. And then later on, since the Gemara says, you know, people are generally have like a strong Yetzirah about Arayos in general, so then they'll come to Matasim, which is Asar, because they weren't paying attention, and that'll be bad. So therefore, we said no three students, and most you can have two students listening to you. That way, if one asks a question, the other one will be sitting there with nothing else to do besides to listen also. They don't want to chat to. So that's why. So that's when it comes to Arayos. When it comes to Arayos, these Arayos you shouldn't explain to students. You can't have three students, only two maximum. Now, below b'masam bereshis b'shnaim, you cannot even explain ma'isa bereshis, which, according to many, is a reference to what in the beginning of ma'isa bereshis, when Hashem made the world. So there's like a sequence of alpi kabbalah, how Hashem was mishtal shel from himself and his initial bria down to this world that we have today. It's like this Olam HaSiyah. So like what happens, how that works, what connects Olam HaSiyah, this physical world, up to the whatever it means, up to Hashem, and the Hishtal Shalif flows down. That's not something that you should discuss in public. It's like a private thing. It shouldn't be even taught to two. It's one student at a time. That's actually learned from a pasuk, not from a svara. When it comes to Arayos, the svara was people just, you will not pay attention. If you have three, they'll chat to each other, two guys who aren't paying participate in the conversation. Here it's actually based on a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Ki shal nal yamim rishonim asher hayu lefanecha." When you will ask about the early days that happened, you know, before min hayom asher bara elokim, from the day Hashem created the world, etc. So created man, I should say, actually, is a pasuk. So they darshan out from the word when you will ask. It's sha'al, a singular, as opposed to sha'alu, like when they will ask. When it's one person asks, so we're only taking one questioner at a time. That's a drasha. So that's from Ma'isa Bereishis. And then, v'lo b'merkava b'yachid. When it comes to Ma'isa Merkava, you can't even, which is, what's that? That's like two basic approaches in the Mefarshim, at least. Two main approaches, leaving like the Rambam out. One is, it's something called Kabbalah Elokis, like, I don't know, a higher level of Kabbalistic concepts about more towards Hashem himself. And then a second approach is, it's like Kabbalah Masif. It's like, you know, practical Kabbalah, whatever it is. Either whatever it is. Merkava, literally Merkava means a chariot. Some learn that's reference to Yechezkel and his Nevuah, and how to connect back to Hashem and how that works. Whatever it is, this is a Kabbalah stuff that we're not going to darshan for Rabbim, so therefore we're not going to know what it is. But anyway, it says you shouldn't do that. Even to an individual student, Elimken, unless the student that you're talking about is high chacham or maven medato, unless this guy's already a accomplished scholar, he's wise and understands on his own. So when you say things that are inexplicit, then he won't misunderstand them and then take abstract conceptual things and make them to sort of mugshin them to physical concepts and then end up being a kofer by misunderstanding things. So he has to understand how things. He has to be capable of understanding. Way. I once heard an interesting idea that you know, whenever the Torah is always, when Lashon HaKodesh describes something, it's always be'etzem. It's always intrinsic to the thing. So this level, this fourth level of learning, called sod, Kabbalistic ideas, which we're referring to over here. So it's funny. Like the word sod means a secret, right? But like, there's something. It's funny to think how something could be a secret. The etzem, intrinsically secretive. Usually a secret is, it's a secret because they didn't tell you. And once I tell you, the secret's out. No, I have information. But all that makes it a secret is not the information is itself secretive. It's just that I'm keeping it a secret until I let it out, then it stops being a secret. So I heard the pshat is like this, that there's certain things that you just, that are intrinsically secret because you can't say them. Not because I don't want to tell you, but there aren't words to describe them. You have to understand, I can only dance around the issue until you and your brain kind of fall into the concept. But I can't help you because I have no words to describe it. So then they're the etzem asod. So not that I don't want to tell you, but I can't tell you because I don't have words to describe it. So that's what we're talking about over here. That there's certain, if you're talking about abstract things about Hashem and whatever is up there and his names and all that kind of stuff, so and Malachim. So as soon as you start thinking about, like, you know, fat children with wings, like you're way, 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 way off the mark in terms of talking about angels. So then that's a disaster. That's chalila. You think like that. So I haven't got words to describe what a malach is. You have to understand. If you can't understand, then you don't. I'm not allowed to tell you. That's what the Mishnah is saying here. It's be'etzem. It's be'etzem. So that's not. That's something they need to understand on their own. Maybe medato. He has to get it. The Mishnah continues on. Like, it's kind of a related but new point. Kolam istakel ba'arba devarim. Anyone who starts investigating into these four matters, ro'i lo ki'ilu lo ba lo'olam. It would have been better off if he just would have never came down to planet Earth, right? Which are, what are these things? Mala mala, what's above, mala mata, what's below, malifnim, what's inside, mala achor, what's outside. Again, the different pshat of what this is referring to. Mala mala means like what's up by the above this world. So some learn literally like what's on top of the sky, whatever that's supposed to mean, I guess. Right? Well, I guess what's beyond outer space, like what's above that, what's above the Rikia. And others learn that it means like what's up above it causally. In other words, like the Malachim world, like that's how Rashi learns. Like what's above, yeah, spiritually above, exactly, the roots. And then Malamata, what's below, so some learn literally means like what's underground. I don't know what that is all about, but anyways, I don't know what isn't all about, I should say. But others learn, like Rashi learns, it's what's below the Malachim. There's different levels of Malachim without getting different, like, forces that go down. I don't want to get into it. But the point is that if you investigate too deeply into how it all works, what connects the Malachim down to here, and so on, that's not a worthwhile pursuit. Malifnim and Malachor, what's inside and what's outside, or what's before and what's after, I should say, probably better translation. So some learn it's talking about space. In other words, like what's on this side and what's on that side, what's on the other side of the, what's on the other, what's like, what's at the end of the universe, what's beyond. And lifnim and lahor means like east and west, and I was like what happens if you go to the end, what's after that. And others learn it means like what's before, what happened, what was the world like before creation, like lifnim, before it all, in sort of time instead of space, what's before. And malahor, what'll be after, like the world ends, whatever that's supposed to mean. So those things are not worthwhile pursuits, says the Mishnah here.
What does this mean? I mean, for sure the Vilna Gaon and all these answers.
I don't know. I really don't know. To be honest, I really don't know. I don't know. I mean, what I don't know, specifically what I don't know, is like, what it means to be mistakel. That's the issue. Like, what? Ah. I don't know what the issue is.
Lashon Seita. Mistakel here is from Lashon Seita.
Yes, but I'm not sure. I don't know what it means. Does it mean think about it too long? Does it mean to know about it at all? To keep on asking questions? To go like, yeah, but why? Yeah, but why? I don't know. I don't know what the Gedarim are. V'chol, like a new point here. These Gemaras are really, really interesting, by the way. They're always the famous, weird Gemaras about all this kind of stuff. You notice that there's Chagiga, this is the beginning of the second parak. All this weird Kabbalistic stuff. Pretty much the only reference, more or less, the only references you'll find to like Kabbalistic stuff in the Gemara. Very rare you have things like, names of Malachim and like the levels of the heavens and all kind of business. This is the sugyas for that. Anyway, v'chosh lochas al kavod kono. Last point is anyone who doesn't have like a pity on his maker's honor, ro'i lo shel. Shalom balolam. It's been been better off if he never came down to planet Earth either. He's been better off. Now, what's that a reference to? So, basically, the Gemara brings two issues. The first issue is that, like Rabbeinu Chanan learns, that you when you see a rainbow, you say like that is like somehow like an image of Hashem. That's based on Psukim. The Psukim there's in Yechezkel, he says Kamara Keshes Asher Yiyeh Ba'anan Biyom HaGeshem, just like the vision of a rainbow on in the clouds on a rainy day, Ken Mara Noga Saga who marred the Musk of Hashem, like so too is like the Nogas, I don't know how to describe it, like the reflected light that surrounds him and the demus of the honor of Hashem. The point is the kavod Hashem. The point is to really think that Hashem literally, he looks, so there's some demus of Hashem, resemblance of Hashem to a rainbow. The connection, of course, is, like we said before, that you're basically mug shim. You like take abstract ideas and you try to, you know, make them into physical ideas, which is like totally heretical. The point is, if you think like that, that's, you're better off not coming down. And they're not being created. And the other issue is, totally unrelated, is if a person basically does an Avera in private and says, you know what, like, Hashem doesn't know. Like, the Shekhinah isn't present. So that's the point. You're sort of leaving Hashem out. Not just forgetting him, but explicitly saying, you know, he doesn't see me here, and things like that. That's bad. So you're better off not being created. Okay, so that's the Mishnah. That's the whole thing.